following message is from New Life Gillette series, Let It Go. This week, Pastor Mike presents part two of this series.
Well, good morning. Welcome to a watch party. If you are at a watch party, I hope that you are enjoying at least getting to look at people's faces. Maybe not shaking hands and that kind of stuff. We're still doing a little bit of the social distancing, but it's nice that we're starting to relax so at least we can get in rooms together. If you're not at a watch party, you should consider next week considering either going to the watch party at the church or in somebody's home or maybe hosting one at your house. We're starting a new series today called Let It Go, and I'm very excited about it. Let me say welcome to the guys over at the prison. All of you at your watch parties and those of you who are watching alone on your phones, thanks for watching today. This series, we're going to be in the book of Exodus. If you don't know your Bible very well, Exodus is the second book in the Bible. The Bible is a library of books. The first book in that library is Genesis. The second book in that library is Exodus. So let's do some review to talk about what Exodus is all about. It's right after the book of Genesis, and at the end of the book of Genesis, the nation of Israel has now made a home in Egypt because of one of Israel's sons. Israel was also named Jacob, but one of Israel's sons was named Joseph, and Joseph was the second in command to the king of Egypt, and he invited the Israelites, he invited his family to live with him in Egypt. And so he's second in command because he interpreted a dream that the king of Egypt, or Pharaoh, had. And in this dream, he envisioned a famine that was coming and they needed to prepare for. The Pharaoh that had that dream was a guy named Sesostris. Sesostris the third. Anybody naming your child after Sesostris? I would like to know. And then the book of Exodus picks up as Israel is in Egypt. And at the beginning of the book of Exodus, that Pharaoh, Sesostris, dies. And a new Pharaoh is born, and a new Pharaoh is in charge. That Pharaoh's name was Amenemhat. And Amenemhat is the third, and that's confusing to me because his dad's name was Sesostris. I guess it must be a grandpa or something. I don't know how that all works. But you're not naming your kid after Amenemhat anyway. But Amenemhat got nervous because the Israelites were having lots of babies. In fact, they were becoming so numerous that soon they were going to outnumber the Egyptians. So what did they do? They decided to make the Israelites their slaves. So they enslaved Israel in Egypt. And they told them, after they enslaved them, that you can't have any more sons. You're making too many babies. They could have daughters, but not sons. Reveal parties in Israel and Egypt were a much different deal for them than they are for us. And let's be honest, how do you just make the decision, I'm only going to have girls and not boys? I'm guessing there are kids in the room listening to me right now, so I won't describe the whole process of how you make sure you only have girls, but it is a violent process. One of the Israelite women that was alive in this time having babies was a woman named Jochebed. And yes, Jochebed is a female name. And she decided that she was going to have a baby, and she did, and she had a son. And she has to face this decision of what do I do with my son? It's illegal to have a son. And we pick up the story right there after Jochebed has her son, and it goes like this. When Jochebed saw that her son was a fine child, has any mother not thought that of their child? My first son was born and his nose is like smashed in. He looks pretty terrible, but I thought he was the most awesome baby in the world. Of course she thought it was a fine child. She hid him for 3 months. And that took some doing, because babies cry. So here's the question. Do we have any proud moms watching today? Raise your hand if you're in a watch party. If you are in watching online, you can type in the chat, I'm a proud mom. Maybe even type the name of your kids in the chat. And just let us see the proud moms that are watching today. I guess dads, you can fit into this category today. But I'm assuming when you had your first child, you had this moment that I had where you look at it and you just think, wow, that's mine. I made that. This is my responsibility. I remember the first time that I saw Lincoln and I experienced pride in that moment that I had never experienced before. That moment for me changed everything. The other day I was teaching my son Lincoln how to make paper airplanes. And I sat him on the table next to me and I gave him a piece of paper and I taught him how to make a fold and how to slide your finger across the crease to make it a good fold. And I said, okay, first you fold like this. And well, the first time he didn't totally get it, but he slowly started to figure out. His lines didn't always match up perfectly, but that was okay. And I said, okay, now you fold like this and you keep going. And so Lincoln and I are sitting next to each other. And the first few airplanes he makes weren't even worthy to make my shelf up here. They looked more like wads of paper. But eventually, as we kept going, Lincoln got to the point where he could actually make some airplanes that resembled an airplane. And especially when he would follow me step by step, when he would do everything that I did as I did it, eventually he got to the point where his airplanes actually looked like they may be flight worthy. You can see these up here. These are Lincoln's airplanes up here. You can see that some of these actually will fly. In fact, when we got towards the end of it, especially the ones when I helped him more than the other ones, there were a few airplanes that he was just so proud of. He ran around to show mom. He even showed Titus, and Titus had no clue what he was showing him, but he was just so proud of these airplanes. So what did Lincoln do with these airplanes he was so proud of? I created a target in the middle of the room, and I put this circle thing out there, and I said, see if you can land your airplane in this circle thing. And Lincoln, in this, when he realized what we were doing with these airplanes, and he realized that his baby brother could grab a hold of those airplanes he was so proud of after they landed in the circle, he was not willing to throw the airplane. So we couldn't find out if it was flight worthy or not. I said, Lincoln, just throw your airplane and try to land it in that circle. But he wouldn't do it. So what did Lincoln do? Lincoln took his favorite of the airplanes that he made, these up here on the shelves. And he runs to his room and he's got this like little Blaze and the Monster Machines hard shell suitcase. And he puts all of his paper airplanes in the suitcase so that his brother can't get them. And he puts the suitcase in the closet. I'm thinking, Lincoln, what are you doing? You made an airplane, it'll fly so cool. And I'm flying mine across the room and I get a little distracted, quit playing with him for a little bit because I made one in the circle and I was pretty proud of myself. And I'm showing him, like, this is the fun of paper airplanes. You throw them, you let them fly. And when the paper airplane flies, you realize the whole point of the game. This is what happens to us a lot in our lives. We get proud of something and we hold it to ourselves. We keep it to ourselves. And we just kind of think, I'm so proud of it. I love it so much, I'm not willing to let it go. I'm not willing to put it in the danger that would happen if I let it go. And this is the terror times multiples that Jochebed is experiencing. When she has this fine child that she's hid for three months and she's realized I can't hide him any longer. And she realized that she's going to have to risk something and trust God. The story continues like this, but when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Can you imagine a three-month-old baby? And the only thing that you can do to protect your child is to put it in a basket and let it go down the river because the Egyptians are coming. But Jochebed had faith. Jochebed believed that God gave her this son for a reason. Jochebed believed that if God gave her this son, if God entrusted her with this son, that he would protect that baby. Verse 4, the baby's sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. She's watching the basket in the river. Then Pharaoh's daughter, another daughter, went down to the Nile to bathe. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slaves to get it. Then Moses' sister, or the baby's sister, asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" Pharaoh's daughter answers, "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother, her mom. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. She trusted God with what she valued the most in this world, with her baby. And now Pharaoh's daughter is paying her to raise her own son. The son was named Moses. You know who Moses is. You've seen Prince of Egypt. And Moses would eventually be the man who God would use to rescue the Israelites from enslavement in Egypt. So I want to ask you this question. As you reflect on the story of Jochebed and Moses, I want you to ask yourself this question. Is there anything that God has given to me that I have held on to too long? Is there anything that I am guarding too tightly? Maybe for you it's a kid. Maybe you have a child who's got some potential, and maybe he needs to go away to college, and maybe he's got a dream and you just don't want him to pursue it because you realize what happens if dreams aren't fulfilled, and you're just kind of holding your child back. Maybe it's time to let him go. Let it fly. Maybe for you it's an idea to write a book or invent something, start a new hobby. Maybe you had an idea for a business a long time ago, and you were going to start this business and it was going to be awesome, and then you just kind of chickened out. I've got a steady job. Some of you have just been laid off from those steady jobs and you're experiencing a wake-up call. Maybe you're starting to think, maybe it's time for me to do that thing. I was thinking about starting a business so I could work from home and set my own hours. I just don't know if it'll work. For some people watching this today, maybe COVID-19 is a signal to you that it's time to get out of your comfort zone. We've spent a lot of time being locked into our comfort zones. Maybe this is God's signal to you to let it go. Pursue that dream. Go after that idea. Or whatever it may be for you. Maybe you're a single dude. And you've seen that girl at work or a girl at church. Maybe the single girls in the room should just raise their hand. Maybe you've seen a guy that you just think, well, he's not asking me out, he's too shy, maybe I'll just go for it. Maybe for you, you've just allowed your fear to keep you from pursuing what you know you should pursue. My encouragement to you is this. Let this change in season, let this change in life, and how it just kind of seems like life has been upended, let it for you signal a new beginning to try something you wouldn't have tried before and to go after a dream. I also want to talk specifically to some people who are watching this today who have experienced things. You've gone through a life that if other people knew about it, it could help them in their journey. There are people who've done things that they're embarrassed about, who have had things done to them that they don't want anybody to ever know about, that you're realizing that if you would just tell somebody about it, it may actually make a difference. Maybe in your life and maybe in their life. In Christian circles, we usually call these kind of stories testimonies. It's the story of what God has done in my life. It's the story about how he saved me, how he redeemed me, how he healed me. And if you are in a place where you've kind of been holding that story back out of fear or out of shame, maybe for some of you, and not for all of you, not everybody is in the place where maybe it's even wise to share your story. But there are some people watching this today who you need to take the brave step of being honest with your loved ones, of being honest with your life group about what God has done in your life. Because sometimes it doesn't seem like we're making much progress, but when we look a long ways in the past, we can see how he's brought us from very deep depths to where we are today. If that's you and you're ready to tell your story, we've put a form together that we want to hear your story. We want to hear what God has done in your life. We put a form at stories.newlifegillette.com. Would you go to this webpage and just fill it out? Tell us your story. We want to be able to pray specifically about how God has worked and is working in your life. We want to get to know you by knowing your story. And don't just stop there. Fill out this form and then tell somebody. Give a testimony of how God has worked in your life. But whatever it is, I pray that you would begin to look introspectively at yourself. What are the talents and passions and abilities and ideas that God has put in your heart that it's time to pursue? That it's time to let it go. Quit hiding it. Show it to the world. God, today I thank you for how you have worked so diligently in our lives, so faithfully in our lives to get us where we are today. Would you help us to resist fear and pride and shame that keeps us from fully becoming who you created us to be? Not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of those we love and for the benefit of the mission that you placed in our lives. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life. Stay safe.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.